Well, it's not like you didn't see this one coming, is it? Everything is online. It used to be, I distinctly remember my skepticism when someone said, look, in the future, we'll do most of our shopping online. When it comes Christmas time, when it comes birthday time, anniversary time, time to order some flowers, get some toys for the kiddos, you'll just go online, you'll give them your credit card, they'll send it to your house, it'll be as easy as can be. And I remember my skepticism. I thought, right, that'll happen. And of course, now that's the way that many of us do most of our shopping, except for our grocery shopping. And there are grocery stores where you can even shop online there. They'll bring it right to your house. So it was only a matter of time before Sunday morning's main activity became an issue online, church online. Now, it's not the first time we've talked about it here on Issues, Etc., but here in just a few minutes during Audio Open Lines, we'll hear an NBC News story on an online church that's a little bit different. It's not just a church's fancy website. It's about people who are attempting to move their online church attendance into the virtual world of cyberspace. I want to know what you think about this. The online church, is it a good idea? Is it a bad idea? What are your objections? I need specific objections. It's Audio Open Lines. We're coming to you live this Tuesday, the 22nd of May. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Thanks for tuning us in. Our call-in numbers are 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. And our in-studio email address is issuesetc@kfuo.org. We'll be talking about the online church. We'll also hear a BBC News report on how American evangelicals are divided over environmental issues. The Today Show interview with Tim Russert on the Republican Party and religious conservatives, and an NPR report on how Rudolph Giuliani is faring with South Carolinians. Now, that's important because South Carolinians will be holding their primary or their caucus, I can't remember which one they do, pretty early. And Rudolph Giuliani is having a harder time getting traction there in that southern state than elsewhere, like Iowa. In the second hour of the program, we're going to spend an hour talking about biblical interpretation. In fact, that hour will be the first in a multi-part series with Dr. John Seleska of the Concordia Bible Institute. At 5 o'clock, we'll discuss civil unions in Illinois. Apparently, according to the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, the headline reads, "Marriage," in quotes, "gets harder to find in the civil union bill." We'll talk about that story with Ralph Rivera of the Illinois Family Institute. And then in the last 40 minutes of the program, some open lines, an NPR report on the popularity, I'll get it right here, on the popular, okay, I'll explain it to you right now, folks. I've been working on a deadline for an article. I've had very little sleep, and I'm subsisting now upon one double cheeseburger. So don't expect a lot by way of mental facility during the next 3 hours. I'll do my best, but the synapses pretty much run their course for the day. We're going to talk about the decline in popularity of gay civil unions. We were told that this is going to be the wave of the future, and apparently gay couples aren't happy with civil unions. It's not enough. That'll be the last 40 minutes of the program. Thereabouts, we'll also be talking with Wayne Malhill of the Christian Research Journal about Sikhism. If you don't know what Sikhism is, you'll find out there in the last half hour of the program. Our call-in numbers are 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. Our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. As we listen to this story from NBC, ask yourself this question. What possible objections, if any, can I think of to this kind of church going? It's not just online church visiting. It's not just going to the church's website. It's not just listening to a sermon online. It is making, at least as technology will permit it at this point, one's best attempt to go to church online. Here's the story from NBC News.
Now we turn to a growing trend in this country, real religion, though in a virtual world. One of the fastest growing sites on the internet is a 3D world called Second Life. Just as in real life, good and evil both exist in Second Life, and religion is finding a way there too. But is virtual religion real religion? Here is NBC's Don Teague.
God sees more inside.
For Jeff and Desiree Click in Oklahoma City, it's a typical Sunday at church.
Verse 12 says,
while 800 miles away, Nathan Carline is attending the same church in virtual reality.
I just get up in my PJs, turn the computer on, and I'm right there.
In a computer-generated secular world called Second Life, where more than 6 million people interact and explore virtual cities, some rated PG, many are for adults only. But this strange world where humans can fly is also a new religious frontier.
In Jesus' name.
Where real-life churches, synagogues, and mosques are trying to gain a foothold.
When Jesus told us as a church to go into all the world, we took him very literally.
God personalized it for you.
Life Church, an evangelical megachurch, has invested thousands of real dollars to build a presence in Second Life. Its Sunday services are now live in both worlds.
Life Church is basically the same church, whether it's in the real world or the virtual world. The big difference in Second Life is the people. For example, here, I'm much cooler.
In Second Life, our virtual selves can be male or female, human or not. This man came to church as a cheetah wearing shorts and told me he only feels accepted here, where he can be whatever he wants.
I've been to many churches in real life, and none of them give me the satisfaction as a virtual church.
But is this really church?
The church cannot be the church without flesh and blood interaction.
Elaine Heath is an ordained minister and professor at Southern Methodist University.
We have to be in our communities, living out our faith together.
When the angel
still, Nathan Carline says the message is the same. He hasn't been to real church since finding faith in Second Life. Don Teague, NBC News, Oklahoma City.
Okay, I guess the question is online church, now this is a different twist, I'll explain it to you if you didn't catch it in that NBC News report, is online church real church? I want your thoughts on online churches. I think we've revisited this subject once or twice, and here is an example of, I don't know if you've heard about Second Life, but it's an online world. Millions of people are involved in this, where you choose a little character for yourself, and you can get an apartment, get married, do all sorts of things online in a virtual world, including go to church. And there's a church that's operating within this online world of Second Life called Life Church. And several of the people interviewed there during the NBC News story said, this is where we go to church. This is how we go to church. Get up, log on, and my little online virtual character flies to the church. You can fly in this world, flies to the church, and goes in and participates. So what are your thoughts on online churches? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. You can email us here. issuesetc@kfuo.org. Okay, that's just an alarm, don't worry. Just a little dead air alarm that we are subject to back here in this darkened room. What do you think of online churches? Would you attend one? I mean, think about it. It's Sunday morning. You stayed up a little late watching Saturday Night Live. The kids don't want to get out of bed. There's the computer. There's the whole world, Second Life. And in that world, a church that you and your family can attend. You can choose a virtual personality for yourself and your wife and your kids. You can even bring the dog. You can go as anything you want to. If you want to be a gorilla in an undershirt, if you want to be a human being, if you're a man but you want to go as a girl, fine. And you're accepted. Do you see a future for online churches? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, and our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. What are some of the positives that you can think of for online churches? What are some of the negatives that you can think of? I want to hear from you. After all, put yourself in this scenario. You go to church one Sunday morning, I mean real church this time, the actual building that you go to. You go to church and you see someone there that hasn't been in church for a long time. You say, well, where have you been? I'm concerned about you. I haven't seen you in church. I've been here every week and I haven't seen you in church. They say, well, I've been in church. I haven't seen you. Well, I was at home. I logged on. I went to church online. How would you respond? Or if you're an elder at a church and your pastor says, well, we haven't seen so-and-so lately. I think you need to give him a call. You give him a call. He says, I am going to church online. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Your kid comes home from college. You say, Jimmy, have you been attending church when you're away at university? I sure have, Dad. Every Sunday morning right there in the comforts of my dorm room, online. issuesetc@kfuo.org. How would you respond? What would you say? Let's see what Alan says first. He's calling from his car. Hi, Alan.
Hi, Todd. I think as a pastor, there is a future for it, but I think it spells the demise of the local church. It's a tool that works into the hands of the mega churches, but I don't know how you experience the or participate in the sacraments online.
Okay, I think I see what you're saying there, Alan. Well, let me quibble with you for a second. While I think it's more easily utilized and justified in the hands of the so-called mega churches, where you go there and the essential experience is music, and then you hear someone talk for a while, and then some more music, and you go home, a sacramentless church, of course, it fits more easily with that. If you don't have those cumbersome things like baptism and the Lord's Supper, you can quote-unquote do church online more easily. So I think I see what you're saying there. Although, I don't know of a megachurch pastor who'd be happy with half his congregation staying home and logging on. Not honestly. issuesetc@kfuo.org. Unless, of course, they have automatic payment withdrawal from your checking account, then they probably would be just as happy. issuesetc@kfuo.org or 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Everybody's got a line. So a lot of churches are toying with the idea of moving online and allowing people to attend online. And what if the people say, well, look, I can log on to Second Life, this online world, and I can go to church that way. Tony calls from his car. Hi, Tony.
Hello, Todd. Much as I hate to say it, as liberal as we are in America and probably the world over, and as lazy as we are as the body of Christ, there's going to be, I think this thing is just going to get bigger and bigger, and it's going to definitely be a tool for people who want to so-called worship. And I think it's sad, but, you know, where does it end? A little bit of yeast makes the whole lump of dough rise. Why don't we just say, well, we'll get together instead of even logging on the computer, 11 o'clock every Sunday morning, we'll know we all meditate and praise God in our own way, 11 o'clock for 20, 30 minutes, you know, and where does it end? I mean, it's sad what happens to do not forsake the assembling of the body of Christ. I mean, this is really just... you know, to me, the beginning of something that's going to get completely out of hand.
Tony, thank you very much for your thoughts. What about the rest of you? So far, several of our listeners quite skeptical and indeed perhaps concerned that the future of the online church might be bright. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Email us, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Well, look, Alan mentioned that if you have a church where the sacraments do not figure prominently into the life of the congregation, if at all, then it's easier to do church online, virtual church, set up a church in Second Life's virtual world, and just run the operation from there. The people attend virtually. A lot of it has to do with how you define the church, doesn't it? If the church is a voluntary association of like-minded individuals. There was a guy way back in the 19th century, Friedrich Schleiermacher, who thought he'd come up with a bright idea by defining the church as a voluntary association of like-minded individuals. Little did he know that several centuries later, That would be the operative definition of church in America. A voluntary association of like-minded individuals. Well, if that's your definition, your basic definition of the church, then what's to stop you from associating voluntarily with other like-minded individuals individually from the comfort of your own home online in a virtual church? I'd like to know if you would attend a church online. If so, why would you? If not, why wouldn't you? 1-800-730-2727 or 505-7850. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's Audio Open Lines coming to you live this Tuesday, the 22nd of May. Coming up here in about 40 minutes, we'll start a conversation and a series on biblical interpretation with Dr. John Seleska of the Concordia Bible Institute. I mean, what do you have to lose? Logging on to a virtual world that includes virtual work, virtual home, virtual people, virtual streets, virtual cities, including virtual churches. I know that most of you are probably just shaking your head. You can't imagine why or what would move someone to attend church online. I'll tell you one thing. If you don't want to put up with those pesky people, this would be the way to go. Steve calls from St. Louis. No, he doesn't call from St. Louis. He emails us from St. Louis, and he says, for most American evangelicals, there is properly no difference between the online church and the non-virtual church that they attend. If the music is happy clappy and the message is how to be the best Christian, then there is no difference. Right. I imagine that might account, Steve, for some of the silence on this. I mean, there are people who are objecting. The SMU professor that they had in the NBC piece said, you just can't have the church without human interaction. Well, that's a fine assertion, but who says so? Someone who's attending an online church says, I am having human interaction. It's not face-to-face interaction like I would if I saw someone on the street, but it is human interaction. I mean, all of this instant message, email, text message, and all these things, and it is a form of human interaction, isn't it? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Jeff, would you go to an online church?
Absolutely not.
And why not?
Because I go to church because Jesus is there.
All right, but let me just toss a few things out to you. You mentioned yesterday you've got four children. I've talked with you on the telephone many times since your youngest was born. You get some noisy kids there, too. I mean, what is the two youngest ones are what?
4 and 6 months.
4 and 6 months. Now, is it Jack, the littlest one?
Yes.
Yeah, little Jack. He's at that stage where, I mean, he can make a ruckus, can't he?
Yes.
Virtual church. Jack can bawl his lungs out. And the only people who are just... And if you and Beth put him up in his room, you know, and turn off the baby monitor, there you go. I mean, that's better than the nursery. That's better than the cry room, isn't it?
Yeah, but I believe that God, the Holy Spirit, speaks to Jack, too.
Yeah. Turn on the baby monitor. He can hear it, too. I mean, think about the convenience here. You wouldn't have to get the kids dressed. I know what it's like to keep little children from fidgeting around in the pew. The advantages here are many. Not to mention the fact that if the sermon got boring, you just log off. When it's offering time comes along, you just log off. Log back on when offering time is over. If you don't like the song that they're singing, just turn down the volume. This is the ultimate individualized church experience. This really is, you know, it wasn't too long ago, back in the very early 80s, that Robert Schuller went out to Garden Grove, California, and decided to conduct a survey of the residents in that area and asked them, what do you want in a church? Now, he didn't have the access to the internet at the time, but had he been asking that question today, people would say, this is what I want. I want virtual church. I want a church I don't have to get up and go to, but one that comes to me through the internet. And I imagine that Robert Schuller probably would have, if he had the capability, provide that for people. I mean, think about the advantages. Roland calls from South City. Hi, Roland.
Well, Pastor, after all, you know, it is all about me.
Right. I mean, that's what these pastors who are so concerned about what seekers want tell us. They tell us that the best way to put a church together is to do the survey of the unchurched, asking them what it is they're looking for, what they like, what their preferences are, and then to tailor-make the church for them. I can't think of a better way to tailor-make a church than to allow you to log on to a church that, in a virtual world, that gives you all the advantages of church attendance with none of the so-called disadvantages. I can't think of a better way.
Well, it's like Burger King. Have it your way.
Right. I mean, if Burger King could deliver hamburgers over the internet and do it profitably, don't you think they'd do it?
Oh, certainly. But, you know, there may be sort of an upside to this. And, you know, this came up on Tom Baker's show, I think, last week, where a fellow called in concerned because he couldn't find a good Lutheran church to go to. And the churches that were available were not very good on law and gospel, were a lot of the, this is the 12 steps to financial freedom sort of thing. Now, doesn't that, though, with an internet church, if they go to KFUO, get the live broadcast on Sunday morning, and listen to a legitimate worship service, doesn't that pay some dividends? Isn't that sort of an upside? Because now we can bring the Lutheran church to people in places where they never would have heard it before, including places where the church may not be welcome.
Oh, no, don't get me wrong here, Roland. I'm not, for heaven's sakes, if I were to try and make the case that the only way people can hear the gospel, the word of God rightly divided between law and gospel, is by physically going to a church, then why would I be sitting here? Really? I mean, why would I be doing this? That's not the question. The question is the online church church? There's no doubt about, you mentioned the broadcast Sunday services. There's no doubt that what's happening there at the one end of the broadcast is church, and there's no doubt that the person hearing at the other end is hearing what's going on. The question is this the same as going to church? And if so, how so? And if not, why not? You're right, Roland. The online church is there in many ways because it is all about me. So what is someone missing by going to church online, entering a virtual world where they can be exactly what they want to be, assume the character they want to assume, and attend the online church that they want to attend? It's Audio Open Lines, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. When we come back, we'll continue this conversation with you. We'll take your phone calls and your email, issuesetc@kfuo.org, 1-800-730-2727 or 505-7850. Remember, if the church is just a voluntary association of like-minded individuals, we live in a culture now that caters to our individual desires, whims, and wants. We expect it. It's the bare minimum. And shouldn't we expect it from our virtual churches? Your phone calls after this.
It's not about you. It's about Jesus for you. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Martin Luther had a famous reflection on the Reformation. He said, "The Word did everything." While he sat and talked and drank beer with his friends, he said, "The Word overturned the doctrines of the Pope. The Word did everything." Well, the Word is the subject of our Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for May, Word, God Speaks to Us, by Pastor John Pless. He's a regular guest on Issues, Etc. The book is $8.99 plus shipping and handling. For more information about Word, God Speaks to Us, go to our website, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House and ask about the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for May, Word, God Speaks to Us, by Pastor John Pless. 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040.
A new study shows teens cope with unwanted pregnancies better than abortion.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
A federally funded study of adolescents from across the U.S. found that adolescent girls who have an abortion are more likely to suffer from psychological problems, sleep difficulties, and drug use than those who choose to keep their baby. Researchers say those counseling teenagers facing unplanned pregnancies should seriously consider their findings. According to the Alan Guttmacher Institute, an affiliate of Planned Parenthood, teenagers account for approximately one-fourth of all the abortions performed annually in the U.S.
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. To join us in our battle for life, visit our website at sba-list.org. That's sba-list.org.
This presentation of the Meyer Minute on AM 850 KFUO is underwritten by Thrivent Financial, where values thrive, and online at thrivent.com.
Welcome to the Meyer Minute. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1 says, "There is a time for everything, and a season for every activity under heaven." And that's helpful to remember when you can't understand what God is doing in your life. "Just as I am," begins the popular hymn, "just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come." That's all well and good. That's all well and good. But how do you explain the tough struggles you are going through? If God loves you just as you are, then why? Why is this happening to me? Proverbs chapter 3, verses 11 and 12 say, "My child, don't turn away or become bitter when the Lord corrects you. The Lord corrects everyone he loves, just as parents correct their favorite child." Yes, God accepts you just as you are. But he loves you so much that he doesn't leave you just as you are. In Christ, he forgives you. He gives you hope. And he's training you up for glory. To everything there's a season. In every season of your life, God loves you. I'm Dale Meyer.
This presentation of the Meyer Minute on AM 850 KFUO is underwritten by Thrivent Financial, online at thrivent.com. We do more than work. We work with a purpose.
Church, very own church. If I had a church, there's a lot I'd do. I'd make sure everyone was nice, and I would be nice too. And the very best thing I'm happy to report is everybody will love God.
Yet the sermons would be short.
And my church, whoa, whoa.
Well, we're talking about the online church. The questions I've laid on the table for you here during Audio Open Lines this Tuesday, the 22nd of May. Do you think the online church has a future? Do you have any objections to it? If so, what are they? If you think there are advantages to the online church, what are those and why? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Welcome back to Issues Etc. Audio Open Lines. I'm Todd Wilkin. Our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Marin in North Dakota is calling on the line. Hi, Marin.
Hello.
Hi.
I mean, obviously, I use the web, and it works to my advantage. I guess the web, however, is a supplement and not a replacement for worship. You know, what was the reaction when people started broadcasting services over the radio? Was there that same concern that people wouldn't come into church because they could listen to it on the radio? But what happens is our dynamics have changed with our culture, and it's converted to church is about my relationship between God and me. And the fellowship of believers isn't important. And just like the song you're playing or the country song that's out there about God and me have our own little agreement, and we work together. And so, you know, I, as a supplement, I enjoy listening to the Fort Wayne's chapel services. But it's not a replacement. It's not the same thing being among all of the other people that are sitting in there worshiping and hearing that music and smelling, and it's about all the senses. And so I guess it depends upon what people think church is, and unfortunately it's about God and me and not the fellowship of believers.
Maren, thank you very much for the call. I appreciate it. Thanks for listening up there in North Dakota. Well, okay, something is missing. What is it? Now, someone might say, well, while something is missing, there's also something I can get in an online virtual church that I couldn't get in an ordinary church. The one guy in the NBC News story said he had been to many real churches, so-called real churches, and never felt accepted until he went to the virtual online church called Life Church on the Second Life online world. He by the way, goes to church. His avatar, his character in that online world, is a cheetah that wears shorts. And that's how he goes to church, and everyone accepts him. So he says, there, I'm finding something in the online church I could never find in the physical, real-life church. Jim's calling from South County. Hi, Jim.
Hi. My point is that what's missing is the sacraments. Unless they've found a way to make them virtual, which I doubt.
Well, don't think they're not trying, Jim.
And what the author of the article was looking for was acceptance from people around him, rather than finding acceptance from God through the sacraments of the altar, by either baptism or the Lord's Supper, which you can't get over, which I don't think you can get online.
Thank you very much, Jim. You know, this is a question of technology. It always is a question of technology in this age of technology. There seem to be two schools, although, as I said before, everyone has their limit. The two schools are, look, technology is neutral, and no matter what we do with it, if we can do it, we ought to do it. If technology permits us to do it, then we ought to do it. That's the one school. The other school is, well, technology may be useful, but it's certainly not neutral, that the medium often affects the message, and that some things don't translate. Jim just mentioned baptism and the Lord's Supper don't translate to anything other than real life attendance at a church. So, you know, what do we do with people who cannot attend church? Someone might be saying, well, what about all those shut-ins who can't go to church? They may listen to a church service on the radio. We might send them a tape. Or I know Jeff's church does this amazing DVD every week, beautifully produced, somehow with very high production values. And that goes out, if I'm not mistaken, to their shut-ins. That's a good thing. I like that. But I think Pastor Whedon is still bringing those shut-ins the Lord's Supper and visiting them in their homes to hear them confess their sins and receive absolution as often as he can. Don't you? See, I think that's what Maren was getting at when she talked about a supplement rather than a substitute. Jan calls from Atlanta. Hi, Jan.
Hi. Yeah, I'm so glad that the previous caller pointed out the importance of meeting together and taking the sacraments, and your point where the pastor takes those sacraments to the shut-ins. I just want to add Hebrews 10:25. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. So the woman caller that pointed out that it's a good supplement, I'm there, but I'm not going to, like, listen to y'all or pull you up on the internet in lieu of contributing to corporate worship.
Jan, thank you very much. And thanks for listening in Atlanta. Let's see what Barry has to say. He listens in Pennsylvania. Hi, Barry.
Hi, Pastor. You know, sometimes I feel like a stranger in a strange land. Right now, the situation my family's in is we go to church on Sundays, except for the first Sunday of every month, because that's when the church has communion. And we won't commune with them. We don't approve of them. But we don't have an LCMS church anywhere close. We don't have any faithful church that I feel that I could have fellowship with on a communion basis. Now, if there was an alternative of listening or experiencing some semblance of a good Lutheran service on TV or over the Internet, I'd be thrilled.
Would it be for you a substitute rather than a supplement, to use the previous caller's terms?
I don't know. It would be fine. It would be like crawling through the desert dying and finding a glass of water. I mean, sure, I'd rather have a steak, but, you know, I'll settle for the water.
Thank you very much, Barry. Okay, now there are people, even in this day of high mobility, there are people who cannot realistically, within reasonable driving distance, find a congregation, like in Barry's case, where they can, in good conscience, commune. And you got to commend somebody like Barry for saying, I'm not going to settle. Neither should we settle for a virtual substitute for those things. You know, we got to tread lightly here, or carefully, I should say, because God's word is God's word, regardless of whether or not it is being broadcast over radio waves, television waves, or through the magical medium of the Internet. But remember, technology isn't neutral. It never is. The medium affects the message. There are things that can translate from, we should say, real life to television. And then there are things that can't. Here's a great example. I want you to just think about this. My brother, my youngest brother, spent a year in Iraq. Now, he was able to email. He was able to use, for the better part of his time there, a satellite phone. He was able to write letters, although I don't think he wrote a lot of letters. I think he could have been able to video conference via the Internet, where he would sit at his laptop and his wife would sit at her laptop, and if they both had the proper equipment, they could see each other, maybe with a little bit of delay, and of course the picture wouldn't be that great, but they might be able to look at each other, see each other, talk with one another. Not exactly in real time, but given that little delay, they could still have that kind of interaction. Are they having a conversation? Yes. Is he able to express his concern and his love for his family, that he misses them? Of course he is. So why didn't he just stay in Iraq? Why did he bother to come home at all? Well, he got to see his wife, tell her he loves her. He got to ask how the kids are, see the kids. Make sure the bills are getting paid. I don't think he was particularly happy serving in Iraq. He did it because it was his duty. But had he been a soldier who wanted to stay, why not? Our in-studio email address is issuesetc@kfuo.org. Think about it this way. If your pastor decided that he didn't have a problem with you coming to church, but he wanted to phone in his part, just you technical whizzes there at the church, you know how to hook up these things. I'll stay in my study at home. You put a webcam on me, and you can project my image and what I'm saying up on the big screen. I mean, what's missing? In about 15 minutes, Pastor John Seleska joins us. We're going to be talking about biblical interpretation, beginning a series with him. He's from the Concordia Bible Institute based in Mequon, Wisconsin. Ralph Rivera joins us from the Illinois Family Institute after that. We'll talk about civil unions in Illinois. The headline reads, Marriage Gets Harder to Find in Civil Union Bill. There's audio open lines from about 5:20 to 5:30. Just a little piece on gay civil unions and the decline of the popularity of civil unions as an institution, and then Sikhism will be our subject for the last half hour of the program. Wayne Mayhall will be our guest from the Christian Research Journal. Dorothy is listening in Valmire. Dorothy, welcome.
Hi. Hey, I've been listening, and that's really making me think. But what about heaven? I mean, aren't we getting further and further away into ourselves and into isolation anyway? It's particularly in our culture. Heaven is going to be a relationship face-to-face with Jesus, interaction with people constantly, a wonderful communion with people. So why wouldn't we crave it? I crave to be with Christian people. I'm lonely being isolated, and I can't be with people as much as Christian brothers and sisters as I want to, because that's a taste of heaven. So why wouldn't you want heaven, a little taste on earth?
Dorothy, thank you very much. What about the rest of you? You know, there is an answer to this question. Dorothy is remarkably close. I mean, she's put it in. I'm not saying she didn't have a good answer there. But there's an answer here about the nature of the church. And by the way, that whole definition, a voluntary association of like-minded individuals, just doesn't cut it. That's good for the Elks. That's good for the Moose, for the Shriners. That's good for any club or association you might want to join. It does not cut it as a definition for the church. If that's your definition of the church, what you will end up with in the end is merely a voluntary association of like-minded individuals, and not what the church really is. Here's an email from Lowell in New Melle. He says, I wonder if there's a virtual forgiveness of sins, a virtual salvation. If there's virtual forgiveness and salvation, then are you actually lost because you're not really saved or forgiven? Virtual means it's not real. Virtually real. So when following the progression of the culture in putting itself into the church, we move from children's church, where children are sent out of the service because it's just too hard. Then a logical progression would be to have it really easy and not go anywhere and place salvation at risk in doing so, says Lowell. Thank you very much, Lowell. Right. All of these moves are cut from the same cloth, aren't they? Why would we ever contemplate segregating Christian families on a Sunday morning into children's church and adult church? Well, if it is about individuality and if it is about associating like-minded individuals, how like-minded can we be with those little kids? I mean, they're sweet, they're cute. We like to have them around at the picnics to watch them run about while we talk about adult matters, but come on, this is church. And this is supposed to be a voluntary association of like-minded individuals. Let's let the kids hang out together because they're more like-minded than with one another than they are with us. And while we're at it, why do we stop at the differences between children and adults? Why not men and women? Why not blacks and whites? Why not rich and poor? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, or email us issues etc@kfuo.org. This is Brad calling from his car. Hi, Brad.
Hello. The caller before last was discussing going for a period of time without communing with others. If I believe that the sacrament is truly the bread and blood, is truly the body and blood of Christ, what proscription is there for me if that is not held by a church? Or is it the consecration by the ordained individual that actually would make it the body and blood of Christ? So in other words, I don't have to go for 6 months, a year, without communing if I know in my heart, being raised and confirmed Lutheran, that it is truly the body and blood of Christ.
Well, you could do that, Brad, and thank you for the call, but it wouldn't be honest. I know it doesn't feel like you're being dishonest, but it wouldn't be honest. If what you're suggesting is that you can commune virtually anywhere as long as you yourself understand what it is Christ is giving in the Lord's Supper, it's really immaterial what the other people think Christ is doing, or if he's doing anything at all for that matter in the Lord's Supper. That is, again, a very individualistic approach. By the way, when Jesus gave the Lord's Supper, he did not say to his disciples, here's my body. Well, actually, some of you might think this is my body. Some of you might not think it's my body. But it doesn't really make any difference. If you believe it's my body, it doesn't make any difference whether the guy next to you believes it's my body. You just worry about what you believe. No, he says, this is my body. Take and drink, all of you. He expects everyone to believe what he says when they commune together. I think that's where we begin is, Christ expects when people sit at his table for them to listen to him and believe what he says. And the fact of the matter is, someone who does not believe what Jesus says of his body and blood in the Lord's Supper, they don't belong at the table. Because they refuse to believe what it is Jesus himself says. Which is why he put it in such plain and simple language that could not be misunderstood except by our own willful stubbornness. But I said it wasn't honest. It's not honest to gather together with people to eat the Lord's Supper as though we agree on what it is when we don't. That's a lie. To gather with people who openly say, this is not Christ's body and blood. And to say, yeah, I know what they think, but I know what I think, so I'm going to go ahead and commune with them. Even though I know that they don't believe it, I still do. I keep it to myself. That's not honest. The act of communing together is an act of unity. In fact, what happens in communion is not about what's going on inside your heart or what's going on inside your head. It's about what Christ says and what it objectively means for you. Phil calls from his car. Hi, Phil.
Yes, I was going to say about the same thing there. The very definition is fellowship, the communication and the union of, I guess in the Greek it's called koinonia, but it does mean to all agree, you know, and to commune with each other and with God.
Right, it means to share in a common thing. That's what the word means, koinonia, to share in a common thing. Now, it's hard for me to get my mind around someone who says, we don't have a common belief in what this is. We think it's some two different things, and yet we still claim to be sharing in a common thing. The only way I can think of that is to call that dishonest. Thank you very much, Phil. I appreciate it. Dennis is listening in St. John's, Michigan. Hi, Dennis.
Hi, Pastor. How are you?
Very well.
I got to apologize. My satellite went down for about 5 minutes. I'm not sure. Are we discussing a virtual church or are we discussing the church in Corinth?
Well, it's a little bit of both.
I'm getting a little confused here, especially when I heard your part about separating rich and poor and black,
yeah,
white.
Well, come on. Birds of a feather flock together. I think the old church growth gurus used to call it the homogeneous unit principle,
wow,
where the church runs best when people get to hang out with people who are like them, you know, economically, sociologically. I'm just saying, if we're going to segregate the church by types of people, why do we stop at children's church and adults' church? Why don't we segregate them along, if segregation is good, which it apparently is, according to the latest gurus, why don't we segregate along all the lines that are there? And we could really specialize this thing.
I think these people ought to find a real church and go and thank God that Jesus didn't separate himself from sinners.
Oh, Dennis, thank you so much. You know, that call comes at virtually the right time, pun intended. We've been asking this question. What's the problem with the online church? Why is, if something's missing, everyone has a sense that something might be missing. What is it? I think it has something to do with the incarnation. Look at it this way. Why didn't Jesus just phone in our salvation? Why did he come here personally, in the flesh, literally, in the flesh? Not virtually, literally in the flesh. Why? Why didn't he just send us a first century Palestine version of an email, drop a scroll out of the sky that said, Sin's atoned for. See you later. Why not just call down with the loud voice to someone who could hear it? I've taken care of your sins. Worry no further. Let not your hearts be troubled. Love Jesus. Why? Why did he insist on showing up here in person, in the flesh? Well, it has everything to do with the incarnation. The fact that Jesus came here personally, in the flesh, to bear personally, in his flesh, our sins and its guilt and its consequences in death. Why didn't he just take on human flesh and carry out the whole crucifixion business on Mars and send us a videotape? Or shoot us an email? Why didn't he accomplish our salvation somewhere off in the heavenly realms and then tell us about it later? Why did he come here personally? Why did he travel the path of the Virgin's womb to the cross, through the grave, and out again after 3 days? Why? It has everything to do with the incarnation. The way that God atones for the sins of mankind, he doesn't do it long distance. He doesn't phone it in. Since the children shared in flesh and blood, says the writer to the Hebrews, which is an even better passage than "do not forsake the assembling together of yourselves." Since the children shared in flesh and blood, he did too, so that he might once and for all remove from them the fear of death and destroy the one who holds the power of death, the fear of death, that is the devil. Jesus came down here to deal with our sin and our death in person, in the flesh, and with our enemy, the devil, in person, in the flesh, as the God-man, because he's our substitute there at the cross in his death. That's how he affects our salvation. And that is exactly why the church, the body of Christ, still the incarnate Christ, continues to gather together personally in the flesh, because the incarnation of Christ shapes what his church is, defines what his church is. They understand this in spades at the Good Shepherd Institute. This is a conference at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, where there's no talk of virtual worship. They talk about the real thing. It's November the 4th through the 6th. You can find out more by finding their logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org, or you can call them, area code 260-452-2100. Ask about the Good Shepherd Institute, November the 4th through the 6th, on the campus of Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. Again, our website, issuesetc.org. The logo is right there with a link to more information. It's all about the incarnation. You see, if it's good to talk about this in the week after Ascension. If Jesus is an absent Savior, then you can do an online church. You can do, if he's a virtual Savior, you can do a virtual church. But if Jesus is there on Sunday morning, as much as he was there hanging dead on the cross for you, and he is, then that's what defines the church, the very presence of Jesus Christ, incarnate, crucified, and risen. We'll be right back.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues, Etc.